So what we're assuming is that I think there's only 5 or 6 states that don't have any legislation proposed this year or passed yet. And the rest of them are really moving towards saying we're going to remove that burden.
Okay, I just want to say I love that. I love all in capital letters, marketplace nexus, because that takes the burden out of the hand of the entrepreneur, right? I mean, they're just...
It does, as long as they are only selling on a marketplace.
Hi, folks. It's the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Quiet Light Brokerage is the leader in helping entrepreneurs build, buy, and sell their online businesses. Since 2007, we have helped thousands buy and sell online businesses. And now, we're putting our extensive knowledge in your earbuds with our trademark relentless honesty and a few laughs along the way.
What the heck do I need a 5 spindle for when I barely sell enough milkshakes to justify my single spindle, right? Wrong. Are you familiar with the notion of the chicken and the egg, Mr. Griffith? I mention it because...
And now, here's Joe and Mark.
All right, Joe, you know that at Quiet Light Brokerage, I don't do as many deals as maybe some of the other people, just because I've got a lot of kids, so I can't spend all the time that you guys spend doing deals. But a name that I hear come up over and over again is Diane Yetter, and she's a sales tax expert. And look, we just need to say sales tax, Amazon e-commerce, and everybody goes, oh, man, what a mess, right? We finally got her on the podcast. You had a conversation with her.
Yeah, I did, and it's the funniest thing, you know. I can't really get into the details because I will just screw it up. And I did it in the first 4 minutes. I'm trying to reiterate something she said, and everybody please listen because you'll laugh at me. It's hard. It's complicated, but I learned a lot of things. She's not pitching software or anything like that. She's a consultant. She's helps people. It's the Sales Tax Institute. She's got a ton of free content, free videos that explains a lot. She has a program that people can go through, an intensive course. A lot of education and consulting. If you ever get yourself in a situation where you have to pay back sales taxes, they can help you. But I learned things about sell-through nexus, remote nexus, economic nexus, marketplace nexus, affiliate nexus, click-through nexus. Who the hell knew there were so many different, would it be Nexi at that point? I'm not really sure. It's, I think, a critical thing that everyone should listen to. Do yourself the favor, buyers and sellers, and listen to it all the way through to the end. She actually gives me odds of the risk of being audited, of having to pay back sales taxes if you're a seller or a buyer and you didn't after you move on. She's the first one that actually said, well, you know, this percentage maybe, and it's what a lot of people are looking for in terms of the risk. I would definitely listen the entire way through if you are running a real business and you want to buy a real business and you want to put yourself in the best position to sleep well at night as you move forward in this world where sales taxes are going to be collected. And if you don't collect them, you're going to be punished someday in the future. It's the direction we're going in. And I really advise everyone to listen to this. I don't mean to be doomsday. It's good education. You'll sleep better at night and you're going to learn a ton from Diane because she's brilliant.
Absolutely. Well, let's get right on to it. This is a quickly changing marketplace or environment, you know, the whole sales tax environment. So it's good to have these periodic episodes where we're talking to the experts and understanding, you know, what are the latest changes and how does it affect both buyers and sellers?
Hey, folks, it's Joe from Quiet Light Brokerage. And believe it or not, this is an exciting topic. It is about sales tax nexus, click-through nexus, a term I had not heard until today. Our guest is Diane Yetter. She's from the Sales Tax Institute. So let me try that again. She's from the Sales Tax Institute. See, being a podcaster is not as easy as it sounds. She's also from Yetter Tax, both all hers. Diane, welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast.
Thanks, Joe. I'm glad to be here with you.
All right. So that I don't stutter and stumble my way through trying to tell people what you do, why don't you help us out with that?
Sure. What we do is we are a business that focuses exclusively on sales tax, and we help companies learn what sales tax means to them. So we are primarily an education business. And then we also help them understand what they need to do to be in compliance with sales tax. So we do that through helping them understand where they have nexus, what's taxable that they buy and sell, help them get appropriate systems set up so that they can handle that correctly. And then in the hopefully not event that they get audited, we can help them with that. So we do that through our consulting side, and then we also provide a variety of educational courses through our Sales Tax Institute.
And it's good stuff. I just looked at some videos this morning and I've learned a bit already, just in your free snippets online. And let's just throw out one of those things, because I'm sure the vast majority of listeners have not heard of, and I'm going to look at my notes, Click Through Nexus. Let's just give them something that they don't know about right away before we reinforce what they should know about, which is overall nexus in collecting sales taxes and the risks of not, and the rewards of collecting when they go to sell their business someday. So why don't you just tell us what Click Through Nexus is, please?
Sure. Click Through Nexus is a concept that New York started in 2008. And it's really just the attempt to move to a digital equivalent of paying salesman commissions, which was found to be constitutional back in a case against Scripto Corporation in about 1960. And so what Click-Through Nexus is when a promoter or a seller, and this really was intended to go after Amazon back in the day when all Amazon sold was books, and people like you, Joe, if you wrote a book and you put a link on your website that referred people to Amazon to go buy your book, that you would then get paid a commission, a referral fee for making that referral to Amazon. So Amazon was the seller, you were not. They paid you for sending somebody to them. Really no different than a salesman going around and knocking on a door. And when they made a sale, they would get a commission. And so what New York started and about 25 other states followed along over the years is that paying that commission to somebody in a state, if they generated at least a certain amount of sales, most states had $10,000 of sales from one or more commissioned agents, that created nexus for the out-of-state seller, in this example, Amazon.
Yeah, and it's a term I hadn't heard of before. I'm impressed if the state of New York actually originally called it Click Through Nexus back in 2008. Just curious, do you know if they called it something else then and have adopted Click Through Nexus?
What it was affectionately or unaffectionately referred to by the media was the Amazon tax.
The Amazon tax. Okay. So most people look at Nexus as, okay, I'm selling a physical product. I've got a warehouse, or Amazon has a warehouse in how many different states? That's where my Nexus is. What this is, it's for the content sellers. It's for the affiliate marketers. It's for people that are doing product reviews where you don't actually have a physical presence. You don't have the physical product. You're writing content, you're telling a story, you're doing reviews, and somebody in Hawaii, if you're in Hawaii and you write the content and somebody buys it in Minneapolis and there's no call center, there's no physical, I'm totally screwing this up, and there's no physical warehouse there, does that mean that you've got to collect sales taxes from that person that bought it or on that sale in Minneapolis?
So what it applies to is if the seller, so in this case, if you are not the seller of the content, but you're just the person promoting the content for somebody else that's selling it.
The person that owns the physical product.
The person that owns the physical product is the one that would need to collect the tax if they made payments to you as the promoter of it.
Okay. So if anyone listening sells a brand on Amazon and also chose to do the affiliate program through Amazon, okay, and is allowing others to sell that product click through, you should be collecting Nexus wherever those sales is. It's not where those sales occur, or is it where that person that wrote the blog is?
It is supposed to be a combination of those two. However, that's often difficult to ascertain as to whether or not that affiliate payment generated the sale in that state. And so it really is going after where the affiliate payment is made to.
Gotcha. Okay. We may need to title this the Stumble Through Podcast, because sales taxes are crazy. And there's so much information and misinformation. And is it really gray, or is it all black and white conversations going out there that, right, I think just the more we talk about, the more we'll learn about it. So let's talk about the big Wayfair decision and what has come from that. Can you touch on that and what it was and the end result for sales tax collection?
Sure. So the confusion that we just talked about with the click-through nexus actually is almost kind of going away because of the Wayfair decision and the resulting state actions. So last June 21st, so close to a year ago, the U.S. Supreme Court issued their long-awaited decision in South Dakota v. Wayfair, which was a record-breaking case in terms of how fast it got to the Supreme Court. The original law was only effective in May of 2016. So for a law to be, in essence, validated and decided by the Supreme Court in just over 2 years is pretty amazing. But basically what the case was a test. And when South Dakota passed their law, they wrote it in such a way that they were in violation of the longstanding Supreme Court decisions in Quill Corporation and National Bellis Hess, as well as the Commerce Clause. And so what the Commerce Clause said is that a state cannot impose a tax collection responsibility on an out-of-state seller unless they have substantial presence in the state. Now, what the Quill case and the National Bellis Hess case over the last 50 years had interpreted is they added a word into that Commerce Clause test. They said substantial physical presence. What the Wayfair court determined was that physical was never a word in the Commerce Clause, and that the state or the prior courts had simply interpreted it to require that physical presence. So by their decision, where they actually stated that their decision in Quill was wrong, they actually said that in the decision, they were overturning that Quill decision. By doing that, they said physical presence is no longer a requirement before a state can impose a collection responsibility on an out-of-state business. Rather, it needs to have substantial presence. The company has to have substantial presence in the state. And the South Dakota law defined substantial presence as having more than $100,000 of sales or more than 200 sale transactions, which we define as an invoice, into the state. And so that is...
Does this make Nexus defined as having a 3PL or Amazon having a warehouse? Does this make Nexus go away and it flips to what you're talking about now?
It does not. So physical presence is still the first test that needs to be identified. So if there is an Amazon warehouse and you have inventory, if you're an FBA seller, then the economic nexus really doesn't matter. And the thresholds that are set in the states with the economic nexus are not relevant because of the physical presence of the inventory in the warehouse.
Okay. But if there's no physical nexus,
correct,
it then flips to economic nexus.
Correct.
Okay. And how many states currently have adopted the economic nexus?
So we have almost all, every state has either enacted it and it's effective, enacted it and it will be effective. The latest one we have going effective, I believe, is July 1 right now. We've got some October ones that are in proposed. And we've got, I think it's six states left that are in proposed status right now. The only one that has rescinded and doesn't look like it will pass this year is the state of Florida.
Gotta love the state of Florida.
Right.
Where on your site and which site, Sales Tax Institute or Yetter Tax, can someone go right now and figure out which states have economic nexus? Do you have something like that?
We absolutely do. So you can go to salestaxinstitute.com. And then go to our resources section. And on that, you'll see a link to the remote seller nexus chart. And on that, there are, that page will have all of the different types of remote seller nexus. So the click-through we talked about, affiliate, marketplace, economic, and the notice and reporting. There'll also be a link on there for a specific economic nexus state guide, which will give you all of the various different nuances of the rules for economic nexus.
Look at that. You've even got a video in there as well. Fantastic. Okay. Part of what you do at the Sales Tax Institute is it's education. You're training people to understand and learn about sales taxes. Are these a combination of in-person training or is it online training as well?
So we do a variety of different types of training. We have monthly webinars that are live in person or live webinars where you can actually interact with me and ask me live questions. So we have a variety of different topics that you can look at.
Is there a cost to the webinars?
There is. Those cost $175, but you can have your entire team gathered around one phone line and it's a single charge.
And you'll sleep better that night or maybe not at all, depending on really.
Exactly.
When I was looking at your some of the videos, I wrote down, is ignorance bliss? ? And I think it's not when it comes to sales taxes. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But all right, so there's a monthly webinar,
very reasonable. Live webinar.
Webinar. Okay.
We also have some on-demand webinars, and one of the ones that might be very helpful to those of you listening now is we have a Sales Tax 101 webinar, and so that's on-demand. The cost of that is also $175, but you can watch it as many times as you want in 30 days. And that will go through and give you all the basic concepts. And it was updated after the Wayfair decision. So it's got a lot of the current information about what's going on today. So we've got, I think it's 5 on-demands. And then we also have live in-person classes. So we have a 3-day basics of sales tax class if you really need to get in depth. That's held in June annually. And then we have, it is usually in Chicago.
Okay.
And then our advanced workshop is for people with 4 or more years of experience, and that is held annually in the April, May. We just had that this year in Chicago, and next year we'll be out on the West Coast. We're also have a, we've offered it twice now, a 9-week online class. We call it Sales Tax Jumpstart. So we will offer that again in September, exact date not yet defined. And that is really meant, and who a lot of our attendees have been in our first 2 cohorts of that, are people that are likely your listeners, Joe, that are smaller businesses, can't get away for 3 full days of sales tax. And we give them basically all the steps and tools for what they need to do to be compliant. So we break it down into 2-hour blocks over 9 weeks. And we also share with them a lot of the tools we use in advising our clients. So we try to help them be more self-sufficient.
You know, it's interesting, you know, as you're talking, I know that we're sharing your URL. I mean, we're 15 minutes into the podcast and we normally don't pitch and promote the people that are on. It's not about that. It's about education. But I think that this is education, that you can't listen to it, this podcast, and understand everything about sales taxes. So I think I'm having Diane share this, folks, early because this information is so complex and so in-depth and changing on a monthly basis because new states are enacting the economic nexus. And you need to have some sort of downloadable chart to understand it. Or better yet, Diane, what we do here often is, you know, tell people to outsource. Like, look, you can do the bookkeeping yourself, but you're probably a marketer. So focus on marketing and outsource the bookkeeping. Yeah, there's legal stuff you've got to do for your business, but don't hire an attorney and bring them in-house. You outsource that. Why in the world does an entrepreneur that's running a small business with, let's say, a staff of 6 need to go through the Sales Tax Institute and learn all of these things themselves when they can hire a company to do it all for them? I know you don't do that. You train, you educate, you consult. Why not just hire a company to do it all? Is that, again, is that a little bit of ignorance is bliss? You still have to know it? Or can you just hire one of these firms that we hear about that will help you set it up and collect and pay the states what's due and you just don't worry about it? Is that a fantasy?
It's not exactly. You could certainly hire. There are a couple different things that you need to do. If you're selling on a marketplace platform, there are less requirements that you need to worry about. And that is because the actual tax calculation is going to be handled by the marketplace. And
let's call the marketplace Amazon.
Amazon is the marketplace, correct. Okay. So if you're selling on Amazon, you don't need to acquire software to calculate the tax because Amazon is calculating the tax on that order. Now, Amazon is going to send you the data and the financial dollars that they collect in the sales tax. In some of the states, you are going to have to prepare the sales tax return and remit that tax directly to the state. Now, the trend that we're seeing in 2019 is states are saying, you know what, we're going to remove the burden, the sellers that sell on marketplaces, and put that tax collection and remittance responsibility on the marketplaces. And so we've got a vast number of states that already have enacted that legislation, and we've got a large number of states that have it still proposed this year. We call this our marketplace nexus on our charts. And so what we're assuming is that I think there's only 5 or 6 states that don't have any legislation proposed this year or passed yet. And the rest of them are really moving towards saying, we're going to remove that burden.
Okay. I just want to say, I love that. I love all in capital letters, marketplace nexus, because that takes the burden out of the hand of the entrepreneur, right? I mean, they're just...
It does, as long as they are only selling on a marketplace.
Right.
The thing that we find is a lot of the sellers that sell on marketplaces also have their own website.
They should. In my opinion, it'll bring higher value. The problem is that Amazon is growing at such a pace. There are more businesses that used to be 75%, let's say Shopify, 25% Amazon, and now it's flipped.
Right.
That will level out over time, I'm sure. But let's talk about that. So somebody that is, you know, selling on third-party marketplaces, but they've also got an Amazon store, I mean, their own website, even if they're only selling 5% of their total revenues, what do they
have? Correct. So where it gets challenging is most of the states require you to include the sales on the marketplaces along with your direct sales in determining whether or not you exceed the threshold to determine if you have substantial nexus, which most states, it's $100,000 of sales or 200 transactions. So if you're very successful on Amazon and only selling, you know, maybe 5 to 20% of your sales are on your own website, then you still may exceed those thresholds. And now you do need to have some sort of solution in your direct sales to calculate the tax, and then you'll have the responsibility for remitting it. So yes, there are companies that sell software that can integrate with your e-commerce platform. Some of the e-commerce platforms have some of the software baked in, so to speak, so that you don't have to separately license it.
Which ones have that baked in?
So Shopify Plus has a baked in version of Avalara. Magento, I think, has some baked in of either Avalara or Vertex, depending upon the version that you're on. But others, you may have to pay a license fee for that calculation side. Okay. The second piece of it is, once you calculate and collect the tax, you need to remit that tax to the various different tax authorities. Those software companies also can do that for you as an outsource. Your bookkeeper may be able to do that for you. And there are also other firms that we work with that are just sales tax outsourcing compliance providers. My firm doesn't do that, but we do work with other firms that do.
Do you have references for those firms on your website?
We do.
Okay.
So got those on our website.
So what would happen if somebody, you know, signs up for Shopify Plus, they collect all this money, and they don't properly set up the remittance or the payment to the states? How long is it going to take for the states to figure out, and what are they going to do?
Well, collecting tax and not remitting it is about the worst thing you can do.
Can we call that a crime?
It actually is criminal fraud. It will earn you an orange jumpsuit.
It is the new black, so that's...
It is the new black, you're right.
Thank you. I had to say it. Sorry, everyone.
You had to. Everybody does. So just as you never want to be withholding income taxes from your employees' paychecks and not turn those over to the government, collecting sales tax and not remitting it is at that same level. Sales taxes, when you collect it, are considered trust taxes. So you need to make sure that you are remitting the tax that you collect. How quickly will the state find you? That really depends. Often it can happen because an auditor bought something from you and then doesn't see you registered. Or it could be a customer that complains.
That could just be bad luck. Do the right thing, folks. Do the right thing. Ignorance is definitely not bliss. Let's talk about this a little bit. We're 20 minutes in. Let's get to the meat of what potential buyers and potential sellers are concerned about with both marketplace nexus and economic nexus. No, right? All right, I'm going to redefine it. Economic nexus, I get. That's when you hit a certain threshold. What's the first nexus? Oh, it's physical nexus.
Physical, correct.
All right, see, this is the Stumble Through podcast. I'm going to rename it all. Okay, so we've got a business for sale. They've done $4 million in revenue in the last 12 months, let's just say. They're keeping 20%, so the profits are $800,000. The business is for sale for 3.5-4 times multiple, you know, maybe it's $3.2 million. And let's say that they've been around for 5 years.
Okay.
They're selling on a third-party marketplaces. At this point, it's probably that 75% there and 25% elsewhere on their own Shopify store, Zulily, whatever the case might be. If they're only collecting sales taxes where they have physical nexus and in their own home state, and I buy the business, it's an asset sale, not a stock sale.
Right.
What's the risk to me, if any?
So I think the first thing is, if they're actually collecting in all of the states where they have physical presence, so where they've got inventory sitting in an Amazon warehouse, they're steps ahead.
Okay.
Because that's where we're finding a lot of the risk is that these Amazon sellers are not collecting in the states where there is inventory in a warehouse. So if the only risk that they have are the states where there was economic nexus passed, which the earliest the state goes back on any of that, for all practical purposes, we have a couple of outliers, is June 21st, which is the date of the decision, 2018, with New York. We've got Massachusetts and Ohio that go back a little bit further because they have something, just to add a little bit more confusion to it, Joe, that's referred to as cookie nexus, which is a digital presence. So if you drop cookies, which every Amazon seller is dropping cookies on their visitors' websites or on their devices so that they can track them, that was deemed to be physical presence in both Ohio and Massachusetts. So they go back a little bit further. But let's take those guys out.
Okay.
So if we're saying today we're selling our business, we've been registered in all of my Amazon warehouse states,
yep,
and I've just got economic nexus going back almost a year. And if I haven't been registered in those states, then there is a risk, although we think that it's probably not a great risk if it is just the economic nexus, okay? Average sales tax rate across the country is somewhere between 8.5-9% is the average rate. Of course, we have some lower and we've got some higher. And so your risk is not 8.5% of your profit, but 8% of your gross sales. And so it's 8.5% of, let's say, 25% of your 4 million is in economic only nexus.
Right.
8.5% of your million for the last year of sales.
And then you've got to further divide it up into, you've got to hit that economic nexus in those individual states. And with where you've got the physical nexus, we're going to count that money and see if we hit that average $100,000 threshold or 200 transactions. It's very complex, very complex, almost to the point where it makes me wonder if that state employee in the sales tax division making whatever they make really cares and is going to dig deep to try to find, that sold a widget after you've sold all the assets of your business. What is the process the state goes through to identify people that are selling products that didn't collect sales taxes properly?
So just as probably most of the sellers listening to this podcast are using data analytics to figure out what should they price their products at, what is a hot product to sell, the states are starting to use data analytics and advanced methods to identify sellers. They've also used methods including subpoenaing, their subpoena power, to go to Amazon and ask for the list of the sellers in their states. So we've seen, I think, about 8 or 9 states that have done that, including New York and Connecticut and North Carolina, Wisconsin, California, Washington. So those are some of the states that have actually gotten that list of those sellers. And we know sellers have gotten those letters from those states saying, we think you should be registered.
Okay. They can figure it out is essentially what we're trying to say here. Let's talk about the risk to the, you know, you said that the risk to the seller, it's still minimum. If you've been collecting where you have physical nexus, so great, that's minimum. What about the person that buys the business? And I'm going to try to say this in simple terms and you tell me. Okay. Correct me or lead me back on the right path here. Let's say I buy a business. I buy that business for $3 million. And it turns out that you, Diane, the seller, didn't collect and pay on all the economic nexus that you may have had during your ownership. And the a few states figure this out and they go after you, your corporation. They're going to go after, you know, Diane's, you know, brand LLC. First, they're going to try to go after the state, after you. And if it's an empty, well, if the LLC is an empty shell, if you ever pierced that LLC by running personal stuff through the business, they can then go after you personally for that. And then if you can't pay it on either of those things, they're going to go, okay, well, the assets are still being sold. The brand's still out there. I wonder who bought it. Let's go after them. Is that the right path? And can they get all the way through to me if they first go after your LLC, can't get money out of the LLC, it's an empty shell, you closed it. Okay, fine. They go after you because you had pierced that corporate shell at one point. You're bankrupt. You've got nothing. Can they go after me? And if so, what's the real risk to me, the buyer?
They can. And to clarify just a couple of things, even without doing anything to pierce the LLC, all the states have provisions that allow them to go after the officers, the owners, or responsible parties, whether the business has been closed down or not.
Okay. But everything else, was I generally on the right path there in terms of the way it would work?
Correct. They can then, there is also provisions that they have that are called successor liabilities. So that means that if they sell the business, then they can go after the seller, or I'm sorry, after the buyer.
Let's just put a point of clarification. On that successor liability, you said sell the business. And these are asset sales for the most part. They're buying the assets of the business, not the entity itself. Does that successor liability carry through in that case?
It does.
Okay. Are they going to go to that successor first, or is that going to be the last resort?
That depends on the state. It also can depend on whether or not the rules were followed. So most of the states have something called a bulk sale notification requirement that applies on the sale of bulk assets. So this is not typically required on a stock deal, but it is required on an asset deal. And so if you sell those assets, there is a requirement that the state be put on notice that that is happening so that they can do a couple of different things. One, they now know that this transaction is occurring. In some states, there might actually be tax on the transaction itself. The second thing is that it gives the state the opportunity to give what's called a tax clearance certificate. So if they've recently done an audit, let's say, of the seller, they can tell the buyer, this is all clear. If there hasn't been a sale made, or if, God forbid, the company has not been registered in the state, then they can provide information to the buyer in terms of an amount to put into escrow and withhold from the purchase price.
Again, though, I'm trying to just visualize how the heck the state's going to do this. I buy the assets of the business. It's, you know, Diane's brand. Mm-hmm. I go to the state of North Carolina to get a tax clearance certificate, or no, that's for the past. Is that right?
Okay. Correct.
So I want to start collecting sales taxes on my newly formed corporation for Diane's Brands.
Correct.
And I do that. I think I know the answer here. I was going to say, how the heck is the state going to know that there were ever past sales?
Right.
There's a questionnaire and I have to answer that, you know, have there been past sales? A few things. I mean, I've heard some people just say no or whatever. People in authority, people that are experts like you. I've seen attorneys on this bulk sale notification go, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Are these people just flat out wrong? Or is it, look, the key thing here is
is risk. I think what I'm trying to help people understand, and I need you to throw out numbers for me, I'm trying to understand the odds, because that's what these sellers and buyers are going to look at. Because sometimes you can't change the past. You can't change what you know you did 4 years ago in terms of sales collection, sales tax collection. In some cases, you don't have to because of economic nexus didn't exist back then. You know, but what are the odds of this carrying through? In this scenario, again, I'm buying your brand. Mm-hmm. You've been around, you sold $4 million in the last 12 months. And I know you can't do this. You know, everybody calls labor the legend. And I remember I just after college, I was at a temp agency trying to get a job and had to take a typing test.
Yes.
And I did it. I was terrible. Terrible was like, you know, 82% accuracy in, you know, at the time. And the guy tells me it was bad. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like Larry Bird saw 66% from the free throw line and he was a legend. That actually got me the job. Nothing else. My expertise in anything else, nothing. But Larry the legend got me the job. Odds, percentages. That's what people want to know. So I'm buying it. How much is this going to keep me up at night? Or is there like a 5 or 10% risk here that some of this may carry through?
So I think it depends on a couple factors. So I hate to give you a fudged answer, but here's a couple.
I put you on the spot. We are recording.
Yeah. So here's a couple of things that come into play. If the only nexus is economic, I think the risk is fairly low. Okay. If you have been an FBA seller, you've got inventory in the state, and you haven't been collecting, I think that risk is significantly higher because there is now ways that the states are getting that information.
Fairly low is 3%.
I would say, transactions happening within the first year, we're saying it's probably, you know, will the state come after somebody for economic? Less than 20% chance.
Okay, but first, I bought your brand. First, they're going to go after you. First, they're going to go after your LLC. Then they're going to go after you. If they can't get money from either of those, then they're going to come after me. So is that 20% on me, or is it 20% first to you and then your LLC?
I think it's about 20% that they're going to go and find that an economic seller did not register when they should have, an economic nexus seller.
All right. And unless you're bankrupt, they're going to take money from you first.
Correct.
And how do they get that money?
They will do an audit. So they will look at your books and records, and then they will calculate an assessment.
And if you can't write them a check, you're going to work out a payment program.
Correct.
There are attorneys that can negotiate that down.
Correct.
All that still applies?
Yep. That would still apply.
Okay. So economic nexus, pretty low. Physical nexus, fairly high. But again, even though there's sell-through nexus, that's what you call it, so many different nexuses here. The physical first, they're going to go after you first. The buyers here, the concern should be fairly low unless the seller of the business is ultimately going to be filing for bankruptcy and there's no money there, right?
Correct. And how you would get caught, as you said, when you're filling out your registration application for your business, because now you're going to be compliant. One of the questions that is on there is, did you buy this business from anybody else? And that's on, I think, virtually every state application. And that's how it would be identified. Now, if you choose to leave that blank, applications are signed under penalty of perjury, although I have never seen a state actually pursue perjury charges on somebody that answered a questionnaire incorrectly. Got to advise you that that's what it says.
Sure. Okay. Dan, we are 35 minutes in, and generally we want to keep these short. Honestly, I feel like I could talk to you about this for another 35 minutes, but I don't dare because the listenership would just drop right off a cliff. So Sales Tax Institute, Yetter Tax, what resources? We talked about them at the beginning and I was writing down. I can't even read my own notes. Yeah. What resources are you making available on the link that we're providing? You're giving us a link on the QLP podcast. There'll be notes there, and you're providing some specific resources for anybody listening. What are those?
Correct. So we're going to make it easy for your listeners, Joe. We're going to give you a specific link, salestaxinstitute.com quiet-light-podcast. And we're going to load all of these great resources that we talked about right there. So it'll be one place that your listeners can go to. And on there, we're going to give them the ability to download our white paper that talks all about these different kinds of nexuses and what you need to do. We're going to give them the link to what we call our remote seller nexus chart, which will include all the different types of nexus, click-through, affiliate, which is common ownership and agencies doing things on your behalf, the economic nexus, the marketplace nexus, and then one that we didn't have time to get into, which is the awful notice and reporting, which is when you don't collect tax. So that chart will be on there. We're going to have a chart for the economic nexus, which is all the states and the different thresholds by state, their actual effective dates, what dollars do you include in doing that threshold calculation. We're going to give you a link to one of our great FAQs about what is nexus that has a little video about all of those nexus types explaining what they are. And then we also offer a service called our Wayfair Risk Analysis, where we can take your data and go through and do the analysis, figure out what your risk is, as well as where should you be registered.
I love that. I hate that we're at the end of the podcast for that part of it, because a lot of people just want to have this done for them. So you can do a risk analysis as
Absolutely.
Part of it. And is that through Yetter Tax or the sales tax, since actually to be through the link? But look, people listen and then they type it in. So if they go to, is it Yetter Tax where they'll be able to figure out that analysis?
The easiest thing to do is go to the salestaxinstitute.com and then click on the consultation button.
Got it.
And you'll see a link to our Wayfair risk analysis there.
All right. Diane, you know your stuff. You're a sales tax nerd. I see it. I'm not insulting you. I see that on your Twitter handle. Thank you for being such a nerd and understanding this and sharing the knowledge with everyone here. Ignorance is not bliss. Learn about sales taxes, because if you don't, it's going to come up and bite you somewhere unpleasant, and that's in your wallet. Thank you for your time, Diane. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. It's been a pleasure.
Today's podcast was produced by Podcast Motor and the Quiet Light Content Team. If you have a suggestion for a future podcast, or if you want to guess the quote from the beginning of the show for a chance at getting a shout out on the pod, email us at podcast@quietlightbrokerage.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and this show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.